They are worshipers. They come prepared, their hearts ready and prepared, and just to lead us into his presence. And God is here tonight, amen? He is here, and he is ever present. And we're just excited about the things that are happening, you know, right here at the Dream Center in CLH. It's just, it's awesome that a group of us can come together tonight and just be one. You know, she said community. Come in unity. Come together as one. Amen. That's what it's about. And that's God's heart. That was always his heart, is to bring back his people. He's the God of reconciliation. Amen. He is the God of reconciliation. And he has a heart to reconcile his people. And he wants to reconcile this city. You know, I think religion has gone on long enough in this city, and God is doing some amazing things. He's ready to bust out the four walls of these churches and say, you know what, church, it's time to get out there and start doing what I've called you to do. Amen? Let me turn the snare drum off because it'll be popping and clicking if I don't. Well, I want to show you guys a quick video. Why don't you show that Dream Center promo for me? This video that I'm going to show you guys, our heart here was a vision that was actually sown back in 1994 by Matthew and Tommy Barnett. And just to give you a quick history before we show this little video, they inspired me to bring this ministry right here to Tyler. Back in February, my wife and I attended a conference in Phoenix, Arizona, and our pastors here had sent me and my pastor Joe Foss, who's not here, he's at a men's conference this weekend, so he would be here, I guarantee you. But he's at a men's conference this weekend. But he said, you know, Jason, the heart of this church has always been an outreach church. And there's something very exciting that's been going on, and we want you guys to go out. I want you and your wife Carla to go out and see what's happening. Just go out there and see what God does. And so we went out there open-minded, and we just saw something phenomenal, something that revolutionized and changed my whole walk. I mean, you want to talk about revival? It's happened in my heart. It's happened in my life because of this. And these men, you know, who started this thing back in 94 are just doing an amazing thing. And it's through Christ Jesus. It's through the Spirit of the living God that they're just doing awesome things. And so, again, they started this ministry back in 94 out in Los Angeles. And I don't think I really have to say too much more because I believe this video is going to tell it all. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, what's up, Clovis Volunteers? We are here in downtown Los Angeles. We're at the Dream Center just checking out the things that they got going on here because we are getting ready to impact our community like we have never seen before. So we're going to learn from the best. Stay posted because we got more coming.
It's not your fault, but now make good. told me that if I come here and complete this program, that every single charge that I've ever had will be dropped. Like, it never even happened. Like, even my felony drug charges will just be dropped, so.
Hey, what's up, Clovis Volunteers? We're back at you from the Dream Center. Man, it has been an awesome experience. Nav and I were just talking about some of the stuff that we're walking away with because, man, we've learned so much today and all the different outreaches and different ways they're reaching people here in Los Angeles.
They do so, they're doing a lot of amazing stuff in this outreach area. And really, the one thing that stood out to me the most, one of the guys said, was that we find the need and we fill it. There's needs out there. There's a huge community full of needs. We figure out what those needs are, and then we fill them. And in that, they've impacted so many lives coming together with, you know, they do have a large number of leaders, of volunteers here at the Dream Center, but we're not far off of that, and they're impacting thousands of people.
Hundreds and thousands. In fact, check this out. Every single month, they say they reach somewhere between 30,000 and 40,000 people, whether that's through their food ministry, whether that's through Adopt-A-Block, whatever it is, and they have so many different ministries. In fact, they were telling us that they've adopted 500 blocks here in Los Angeles, and at those Adopt-A-Blocks, they fix people's houses, they feed them, they pass out diapers and wipes, and through this, they're reaching 210,000 people this year through their 500 Adopt-A-Blocks. I think that's absolutely incredible. It's amazing. And we got to hear some of the testimonies, right, of some people that have actually been reached through these outreaches, and now they're here giving tours, they're here working, part of their men's and women's discipleship program. It's been awesome. It's been absolutely incredible. So our word to the Clovis team, all of our staff and all of us as leaders, is let's figure out what our needs are in our community that we can begin to fill. You know, we're not called to imitate exactly what they're doing here in Los Angeles, but what can we do? What needs are there in our community that we can begin to strategize and fill, that we can leave a lasting impact on our own community there in Clovis and Fresno? So we love you guys. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you at church this weekend.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dave. Amen. It's the heartbeat of God. Find a need and meet it. Find a need and meet it. I mean, it's simple. It's very simple. Shalexis, where's Shalexis at? Come here, Shalexis. I want you guys to meet Shalexis. Come on up here, girl. Shalexis is one of the young ladies that we reached through our Adopt-A-Block program. Shalexis is from the apartments over in Town Park. And last year, during the fall, God had just put on my heart, even before we even started this Dream Center concept, God had already birthed this in our hearts because we said, you know, God spoke to me and said, get out there and start meeting needs. And so I took my youth group. And every single Saturday, we'd meet here at 5 o'clock. We'd have worship, and as soon as we finished just giving God the glory and just being filled with His Spirit, we would take it out and we would share it with my sister. She first met us out there on the blocks, and her and Stacy and Stephanie were Stephanie, raise your hand. Stephanie's back there. Stacy, her sister, has gone off to a trade school, and she used to be with us. But these three young ladies we ministered to, and you guys thought we were a bunch of fakes at first, didn't you? Why don't you share just briefly what happened? Okay.
Well, before they started coming out to the apartments, I used to go to this church that it was a lot of fake people, and they judged you. They were there to be seen. They didn't care about knowing God. And so I stopped going to the church. I told my mama, you know, I don't feel comfortable at that church. So I'm going to pray about God showing me, leading me to another church. 2 months later, they came out to the apartments. And they started talking to us or whatever, and, like, I didn't want to hear it because I thought they was just another fake church. And so Stacy and Stephanie were the first people to go after Victoria was encouraging us to go. And I was like, no, I don't want to go. I was second-guessing and everything. But after Stacy and Stephanie went, they came to me and they said, you should come. It's a good church. They're not fake or anything. And they'll welcome you with your open arms. And so I went. First time I went was on a Wednesday, and it was okay. And I was like, yeah, whatever. And so the next time I went, I was so amazed, and I fell in love with this church. And I was like, I got to go back every Sunday and Wednesday. And now I go to Adopt-A-Block, and it's just amazing. And I'm glad that God led me to this church, and led Pastor Jason and the youth group to come play football with us every Saturday. And so I fell in love with this church, and I'm here to stay, and I'm not going anywhere.
Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. And that's what it's about. That's what it's about. I mean, we just went over there and we said, you know, we're just going to love. We're going to be. And the key is consistency. See, we're just not throwing, just doing a one-time little event and then we're gone. You know, we went back Saturday after Saturday, and Stacy, who's not here tonight, this was her testimony. I remember her saying in youth group one night, she said, you know, you guys came the first couple times. And again, I thought, you know, you guys were just trying to be like do-gooders, you know. But she said, you guys kept coming back, and you kept coming back, and you kept coming back. Even when we wouldn't even talk to you guys kept coming back and talking to us, and like you had known us for years, she said. And she said, that is what woke me up and said, you know what, these people actually care about me. They actually care. And today, she's not with us. Is she at a trade school? Stephanie, is that where she's at? Yeah, she's like at a trade school. She went off to a trade school to learn a trade. But again, it was about just our consistency, being consistent with people, not just being there one day and gone the next. And seeing that's what we've seen a lot of. You know, you got the Jehovah Witnesses who are out there. That's what they're doing. They're just in there to proselytize and to spread their lies and things like that in the neighborhood, and they move on to the next one and to the next one. You know, and the church has kind of grabbed hold of that idea by doing their one little outreach a year to a certain specific area, and then they're gone. You know, what does that show people? You know, it's the consistency in building relationships, and that's what the Dream Center, that's what Adopt a Block is about. And that's why we want more and more churches to get this idea, and it'll do it, you know, and to brag on the Lord and Him alone. It has almost tripled our youth group in size. You know, we went from 10 kids in our youth group. Now, you know, we can't even fit in the basement anymore, man. We were busting at the seams with 40 kids just this past Wednesday night. And again, it's not about the numbers, amen, but give glory to God, amen. It's not about the numbers, but it is about people being reached for the gospel. And it's about letting people know that someone cares. And there's another group of young guys. I'd like Evan and Jason to come up tonight. I want to introduce you guys to Evan and Jason. I just met these guys, Hannah, who opened up the service tonight and prayed. Hannah's just, we're going to miss her. She's fixing to leave and go back to Chicago for 1 year, and she's coming back. She's promised she's coming back home, all right? But she's going to leave us. She's like my right-hand girl. I mean, she's just really just gone, I mean, just all out with this ministry. I mean, it's put just such a zeal in her life and just revived her heart. But she found Evan and Jason, and she put me in touch with him, and I gave these two guys a call, and I'm thinking I'm gonna, you know, it was two individuals that are doing a homeless outreach out on the square across from the courthouse, you know, and they're feeding the homeless on Saturday mornings, right? So I'm gonna call these guys, and I'm thinking I'm gonna be talking to some 20 somethings or 30 something year old individuals, right? Well, Evan answers the phone, and I start talking with him, and I'm like, dude, how old are you? He said, oh, man, I'm a sophomore in high school. I said, what? But I wanted Evan and Jason just to share what God has been doing through them. These guys are doing something amazing. And young people, get this, okay? Evan?
Well, like he said, just what we've been doing is just going down to Tyler Square and having communion and just loving everyone who's down there that needs food, pretty much just needs love. And, you know, that's they might be there for the food, but they're actually there for the love. And we try and give that to them, and we kind of try and show them that just because they're, you know, down on their luck or they're not living the life they want to live, that doesn't mean we don't love them. And that we just want to be there for them and just know that if there's no one, that they have us. So pretty much it might be a ministry of giving food, but in the long run, it's all about the caring and all about how much we just want to show them that they're worth something.
Not much to add to that, but yeah, Evan.
talk about your setup and what you guys do exactly down there.
Yeah, with Hunger for Love, we go out there on Saturday mornings and we set up. We have like a tent, we have like an industrial sink, we have a water heater, we have ice chests, and we have stuff that we cook food on, like griddles, and we have stuff like coffee makers and.
There's a nice coffee maker.
42 cups. 42 cups of coffee, and it's actually really cool. But, Evan and I, we're the founders of Hunger for Love. We're a nonprofit organization, and we go out there every Saturday morning, and we cook, and we serve food. And really what Hunger for Love is about is more like the community. What we do after we serve them food, we go and we talk to them. We build relationships. We build friendships. And we really get to love these people for who they are. And one of the things that I like to say is that I've forgotten that these people are homeless. When I'm down there and I'm talking to them, I don't think about the fact that they're homeless. I think about the fact that they're real people. And that we love each other as human beings, and so much more.
I'll tell y'all where it started. It was going into the summer. You know, we're sophomores this year, but we're coming out of freshman year. And Jason just comes to me with the idea, and he's like, "What if we went and, you know, gave pastries and stuff to people down in Bergfeld Park?" And I was like, dude, that's awesome. Let's do it. So it started with us and two igloos, one filled with pastries that were left over from fresh and the other just filled with juices. And we went down there and we thought, of course, there will be some people down there. It's early, you know, Saturday morning. We would maybe have two people, and they were the ones that were digging in the trash cans. So that's when it, like, really hit us that this is what we needed to be doing. And one day, it was just, you know, us and his sister, who's off to college right now, and we were down there, and no one was coming. We would offer food to people, and they wouldn't take it. And I don't know why that was, but they wouldn't. Well, one man came, and we have all this stuff, and he comes, and we're like, you take whatever you need. This is all for you. He takes, like, everything we have. We were having to wrap all of our pastries in saran wrap because the health department says everything has to be prepackaged. Well, he just took the saran wrap. We gave him, there's another nonprofit called Mission Tyler. They do just a lot of homeless work also. And they let us have some boots, just pairs of boots in different sizes if anyone needed it. He took all the pairs of boots. I don't know, but we gave it to him, and he was so happy. And that's when we knew that this is what God laid on our hearts, and this is what we're supposed to be doing.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, we started out with like two people every week, and now we go downtown, and we've had probably the most we've had in 1 week is about 40 people come and get food. So it's grown a lot, and it's been a great experience for all of us.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Man, that's awesome. Hunger for Love is the name of their ministry. Come on, man. Two teenage sophomores. They found a need, and they filled it. And brothers and sisters, that's what the Dream Center is about. That's what the Dream Center is about. That's what it's making people's dreams come true, be it in the church or those who are lost. You know, everybody has a passion and something that they live for inside. But see, some people just don't know how to unlock it. But see, God has given us the key as the body of Christ to show people how to unlock their full potential. How will they know unless somebody goes? How are they ever going to know? And here it is, Evan and Jason. Just something God put on their hearts. Just to go fill a need. And look what they're doing. Not for their glory, but for the glory of God. And that somebody's heart would be touched. Amen? Amen. And the awesome thing about just getting involved is what could happen. Because see, sometimes in ministry and in church life, we don't exactly know where we fit in. We don't know where we fit in. But if we will just serve somewhere that somebody's already doing something, God will always open the door for something new. He'll show you. If you just get in and just start to serve, and see, and I think a misconception that I want to clear up is that, you know, we think, you know, we're like, I'm not called to that. I'm not called to do that. Well, if it has anything to do with serving people, yes, you are, church. You're called to that. Now, it might not be your specific ministry to go knock on a door and say, could I pray with you? But I guarantee if you get involved one time and you do that, God will open up a door and show you where you're supposed to fit in his ministry and in his work and what he wants to do to build his church. And another young lady that I want to invite up tonight, Gwen, come on up here, Gwen. Gwen is Gwen is a part of our discipleship program out at Calvary Commission. And I've asked Gwen to come up and share because Gwen, she can't come out with us on Saturdays. But she got in and started serving, and this is what happened.
Hi, for those who do not know me, my name is Gwen, and I am a student at Calvary Commission. And I think it was back in April, Jason came to one of our classes, and he was talking about the Dream Center and Adopt-A-Block, and he was talking about going out on Saturdays. And, you know, going out every Saturday. So I'm sitting there thinking, well, I can't go out. I have to work on Saturdays. And all of a sudden, I opened up my mouth and I said, well, why do we have to wait on Saturdays? How about if we get their numbers and we call them in the middle of the week just to check on them and encourage them and to pray for them and to find out what their needs are? And Jason looked at me and pointed at me and said, you just birthed the ministry. But it was not, I know that it was not me birthing the ministry. It was the Lord birthing the ministry in my heart. What I do is I call the people and the families. Now, let me tell you, after the first or second week, they went out. They came, as Jason came in the office, he had these phone numbers. So I had asked him to get me some phone numbers. So he gave me the phone numbers, and I think it was about maybe 15 phone numbers. Well, I've compiled the list of the families' names that I have in the on the different blocks and a couple from the apartments, and now there are 89 names on that list. And of that 89, there's about 75 phone numbers. And I realized one night when one of the men off the block, he called me and he said, I called you because I was lonely and I wanted to hear your voice. And I wanted to thank you for praying for me and for continuing to call me. I've had so many people when I call them and they say how much they really appreciate this team who goes out faithfully every Saturday and serve the Lord, because that's what it's about. It's not about bringing glory to us. It's about serving Jesus Christ. And through this ministry, I have learned that when I get out of self, when I get out of myself and I consider someone else and I find a need and meet it, or I find a need and I pass it on to Jason them who are able to meet it, where the Lord uses them to meet it. It is when I am most fulfilled. This has been so fulfilling for me. And we hear all the time, what is your calling? What is your calling? I never knew what my calling was. I don't even think about a calling. I think I told Karen them, my calling is to follow the Lord every day. That's my calling. But today I was thinking, and I said, well, Lord, I guess my calling is to call people on the telephone. But I would encourage all of you in some way to get involved in this. I mean, I'm just amazed at how it's just, the Lord is just bursting this Dream Center wide open. Just bursting it open. Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Gwen. I'm going to tell you what, I mean, she is on top of it. This lady right here coordinates all of our work programs on Saturdays. She makes sure that I have the addresses, the exact things that need to be done. I mean, she does it all. And I mean, and just what she does to bless people on weekends, I mean, throughout the week, is just amazing. I don't know if you remember the big storms that rolled through about a couple months ago. It, you know, toppled a bunch of trees. And anyway, Gwen was on the phone that evening. She was calling everybody on our blocks to make sure that they were all right, that they didn't need anything, to see if they needed something, and to make sure that they were still intact, their home was still there and everything. And it was such a blessing because we went out that Saturday morning and we're knocking on doors and it's like, oh, thank you guys so much. Who is that lady that called me Tuesday night that just blessed me? She prayed with me. My lights were out, but my phone was still on. And oh, you just don't know what that did for me. I mean, she just went on and on. And I mean, this was from house to house to house that, I mean, people were just giving, you know, just giving God the glory for just a lady who called somebody on the telephone. That's it. That's all she did. But it just blessed them so much. You guys, the very foundation of the Dream Center is called Adopt-A-Block. And what Adopt-A-Block is, it deals, number one, the key to the success of Adopt-A-Block is consistency. It's consistency. It's not a one-time thing. We started this April the 14th, I believe, and here it is August, and not one day has went by that we have not been on our blocks that we committed ourselves to. And we ain't going nowhere. We're not going anywhere. Now, we'll expand, and that's why you're here tonight. That's why you're here tonight. This is about you taking this very ministry to your church and watching what God does. I mean, it's phenomenal just how it blesses people that you would take time out of your busy day to come and knock on their door and tell them, "Hello, my name is Jason. Just in the neighborhood this morning just to see how you're doing. Is there anything that I can do to serve you? You know, we're from such and such church, and we're just simply here to, if you got some grass that might need to be mowed or a tree that might need trimming, hedges or anything, we just want to serve you." Now, at first, you're going to get some crazy looks, okay? The first, what, month, guys? It was rough. We got some doors slammed in our face. We got people that said, "Don't come back to my house anymore." We got people that would talk to us through the door. And the very people now who used to talk to us through the door are inviting us into their homes for coffee and saying, "Please come into my house. Pray with me. Help me. Can you tell me about what this is that you guys are doing? I don't believe it. I don't understand what's happening. Who are you people? I've never seen anything like this in my life." People are saying this. They don't understand. See, people need to see the true church. And that's what this ministry is. That's what the Dream Center is. That's what Adopt-A-Block is. But it reaches further, just like Jason and Evan and what they're doing. But it all starts just with this foundational ministry called Adopt-A-Block. And again, all it is that on Saturday mornings, we meet right here at 9:15. Well, earlier. I'm here earlier. Dave especially. Dave's my right-hand man as well. He makes sure that he has the church open for us. Everything's ready to go. Coffee made. Everything's ready. And work orders and the sign-in book and everything. He has everything ready to go. By 9:15, we crank up the worship. And it's time to pray because we do not hit our blocks without first getting filled. We leave all the garbage from in the morning out there on the parking lot. All the stuff from life and everything else. We leave it all out there on the parking lot because it's time to go serve somebody. It's time to go show someone who Christ is. We have a worship time. We spend about 30 minutes or so in worship. And then after that, about 9:45, close to 10 o'clock, we have some instruction time. I make sure that all my teams are ready to go. We've adopted 7 blocks. In those 7 blocks, we minister to over 89 families. She just has 89 numbers. I believe it's close to about 120 families. And you can translate that into maybe 3 to 5 people per family, almost 500 people. And that's just 7 blocks that we have done. We just did what we can do. Now, your church might not be able to do that. That's okay. You got to start small to be effective. We can't get all spread out because that's what was one of the downfalls with the Dream Center in Los Angeles. They tried to go to all these different areas and try to make a difference in all these areas. And all they were doing was defeating the whole purpose of what they were trying to do. So they said, "You know what, let's rethink this." You know, and I'm a person who does not like to reinvent the wheel, okay? That's why we're doing this ministry, because it's proven and it works. It works, and we're reaping the results of that today in this church. Our church is growing again, whereas we were kind of declining there for a while. But this church is reviving, and we're just having awesome times on Sundays. We just had, I thought the roof and the walls were going to blast off this place last Sunday. What happened here? People were being healed, and just some awesome things were happening right here. And I'm not saying it's because of what we're doing. It's because of what God is doing. Amen? It's because of what He's doing. When we start serving people, He'll get busy being faithful and doing what He's doing. And so, again, we getting back here, kind of got off on a rabbit trail there. you know, we get the instruction time. You know, I make sure that all the work detail is covered. I make sure that that all the blocks, all my block leaders have been faithful. And again, thank you all my block leaders who are here tonight. I know some couldn't make it, but they're consistent, and they're here every single Saturday to take their team to the doors every single weekend. And so I make sure that they have everything that they need, their information cards, their work orders, and everything like that. And we dole out all the jobs. We have some people who don't like to knock doors, okay? And that's fine because they like to work. They like to be the ones that go and mow the grass and trim the trees and all those things. And so I make sure, you know, so we've got a mix of people who are able to do that. And I try not to overstretch our people. If we can't do a certain job, that's okay. And we never, ever promise anybody anything. We just tell them we'll do what we can. And then that's when Miss Gwen, her and I coordinate. She gets on the phone. She's back and forth with me in the office. Jason, can you guys do this? We got a paint job here. And so we're going back and forth, and we're working these details out. So we're ready and we're prepared Saturday morning so we can hit the streets. And we load up in our vans, our cars, and we go hit the neighborhood. And we just simply start knocking on doors. CLH Dream Center. See, at first they were, who? What? Who are you guys? Now they're like, oh man, I was hoping you guys were coming this morning, man. Come on in for some coffee. Hannah, they had a lady again who was speak through them through their door for how long? Probably a month or so. Yeah, probably a month. But you know what? They kept going back, and they kept going back and letting her know, hey, we're here for you. And now today, what does she want you guys to do? Having a prayer meeting, having prayer meeting in her living room. See, rejection's going to happen. It is. But the consistency, you guys, shows people that this ministry, it works. It works. People are looking for people. You know, there's an old adage that says people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. They don't care how much you know. See, I mean, that's what these one-time things are all about a lot of the times. And I'm not knocking those things. Please don't get me wrong. You know, I know people have good intentions when they go out and they want to do an outreach and stuff like that. But, you know, just to go in one time and then leave, that really doesn't show people much. That's a handout. That's a handout. God wants consistency in our lives. He was consistent in every way, in every part of his walk. He said, I only do what the Father does. Who's more consistent than that? Who can get more consistent than that? Amen? Who can get more consistent than that? And so we knock doors, and again, normally we're off the blocks by 11:30, 12 o'clock, and that's all work duties and everything. 2 hours out of your morning. 2 hours. Can you do 2 hours? Come on, think about it. 2 hours. And it will just turn somebody's life around. Joe and Charlotte talk of a testimony when they had Adopt a Block, when we used to be called Church of Hope Christian Fellowship. Thank you, Miss Charlotte. We used to be Hope Christian Fellowship. We were located on Broadway, and we used to have an Adopt a Block program then. And they were knocking on doors one evening, and just so happened the individual that they knocked on the door to talk to was about to commit suicide, was contemplating suicide. But God sent them there that night and rocked that person's world. And today that person is still alive because faithful people just said, you know what, I'm going to get out of myself and I'm just going to go and serve somebody. I'm going to go serve somebody. And that's the heart of God. That's the heart of God. That's the heart of this ministry. Now, we want to see the Dream Center proliferate into so much more. What you saw the LA Dream Center doing, of course, you know, we're just now off the ground. Again, April was our inception date, our inception month. And here it is, you know, we're in August, and we've already seen just things that are just absolutely blowing my mind happening here at this church. And I believe in the God that says that he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can think or ask, according to the power that works in us. His Holy Spirit, not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Because that's who we go out in the power of. That's what's changing lives in our community. That's what's making a difference in Adopt-A-Block. And now we want to reach into the lives of the homeless. We want to help Jason and Evan and come alongside them, because that's a Dream Center ministry, though they're doing it. You know, that's a Dream Center ministry, and we don't want to take from them. We want to add to what they're doing. We want to come alongside them and see this thing grow and reach even more people. And Dave has said, Jason, I have a heart for homeless people. Dave is our sound guy tonight. He was homeless for 28 years. And he says, I have a heart for the homeless. He just birthed himself a ministry. He said, God, I know what God has called me to do now. I have a heart for this. And I'm going to put him in touch with these two guys. And he's going to take a team of people out on Monday mornings from Calvary. And they're going to go in and just, you know, come alongside these two brothers and what they're doing. Again, it's just about filling a need. Everywhere Christ walked, that's all he did. That's all he did. You know, I want to read some very sobering words of the Lord. And if you would turn with me in the book of Matthew. In verse 31, it says, I don't know if you guys can read that up there if you didn't bring your Bibles, but I'll read it for you anyway. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, that is, His majesty and His splendor, oh, how beautiful it will be, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on His throne of His glory, and all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them, the people, from the other as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats. And He will cause the sheep to stand at His right hand, but the goats to His left. Then the King will say to those at His right, come, you blessed of my Father, you who are favored of God and appointed to eternal salvation, inherit and receive as your own the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. And this is the kicker. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you brought me together with yourselves and welcomed and entertained and lodged me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me with help and ministering care. I was in prison, and you came to see me. Then the just and upright will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcomed and entertained you, or naked and clothed you? And when did we see you sick and in prison and came to visit you? And the upright and the just standing with God unto eternal life. I think that was a typo. I think that is. And the King will reply to them, truly I tell you, insofar as you did it for one of the least of these, in the estimation of men, says the Amplified Version, of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. You have done it unto me. But this is the scary part. Then he will say to those at his left hand, be gone from me, you cursed, into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me and entertain me. I was naked, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not visit me with help and ministering care. Then they also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger, naked or sick in prison, and did not minister to you? And he will reply to them, solemnly I declare to you, insofar as you failed to do it for the least of these, then you have failed to do it unto me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but those who are just and upright and in right standing with God, into eternal life. If God has put it in our hand, if God has given us the ability, and it's in our hand to give it, and we refuse to, we're held accountable to something very, very detrimental. Each and every one of us, looking at this scripture, you know, I know, again, you know, we all have good intentions, and we have our outreaches, and we do the different things. But God is calling the church, His people, to a higher standard. And I believe in my heart of hearts that God is saying, you know what? It doesn't have to be a one-time thing. Your yearly mission trip to some foreign land or some other inner city. It doesn't have to be just once a year. God has given it in our hand for it to be something that occurs daily, weekly, monthly. Because those needs exist right here in our own city. They exist right here in our own city. The prostitution, the homelessness. We just met with the Tyler PD this past week. And they're crying out for us. They're saying, man, we need you guys to help us here, man. We're just seeing the same thing over and over again. See, even our city government systems are calling upon the church to make a difference. Amen? Because our government systems are not going to be the thing that's going to cure the sociological problems that we have in our society. It's going to be the church, because the church stands on the foundational truths of who Christ is. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to the Father but through Him. But how will they know unless if it's in our hand to give it to them? That's what Adopt a Block is about. That's what the Dream Center is all about. And that's what this ministry is all about for you. The Dream Center is not a Church of Living Hope thing. And that's what I want everyone here to know tonight. This is a Christ body thing. Because we can't do it all. We can't do it all. And we don't want to do it all. We want you to take this and take it back to your church. We want you to take this simple minute, and it's simple. There's nothing complicated about it. If you can walk and knock on a door and say, hi, how you doing? Can I help you with something today? That's all it takes. But you got to be consistent. You got to be consistent. We tell our people on our blocks, I mean, it better be raining fire, okay? And it's smoldering our clothes, you know, before we'll not be at your door to serve you on Saturday mornings. I mean, we have committed that whatever it takes, we're going to stay committed to this thing, because this is what God's heart is all about serving people. It's about serving people. And that's what it's about. That's what it's about. You know, we went out to Phoenix back in February, and we went to the mega church that's there. It's a church of over 4,000. I think they have a congregation, a membership congregation of 4,000, then plus, you know, your visitors and everything else. I mean, it's just this huge, gigantic mega church. And, you know, and I went there very judgmental, you know. I was like, you know, what did my pastor send us out here for, man? Look at this. I mean, these people got millions of dollars. Yeah, I'm sure all this stuff is working, man. You know, they got all this stuff already. You know, and so I go out there, you know, and I have, you know, preconceived notions, and I'm already being stereotypical and just looking at all of this. And of course, then we walk into their sanctuary, and it's this huge, big, gigantic, you know, three level theater looking place. I mean, it's huge, you know, and I was overwhelmed walking into this place. And I'm like, okay, you know what? You know, what is this? What are we supposed to get here, Lord? You know, and this was the pastors leaders conference that they hold for those who want to start a Dream Center ministry. And they basically have all kind of different workshops where, you know, people are willing to train you in different areas of the finance part and the outreach part and just all the different ways in which you can minister effectively through the Dream Center and Adopt a Block and the various ministries. And so we're there, and I'm like, man, this place is just, you know, it's blowing my mind. It's blowing my mind. I'm just like, you know, God, they can do all this, you know, with their millions. And then they, you know, the time starts, and Pastor Barnett, Tommy Barnett, gets up there, and he begins to talk about how, you know, tonight we're going to have what's called the Parade of Ministries. And I'm like, oh, well, this is just fantastic. Now they want to show it all off, you know. Let us show you all the good stuff that we're doing, you know. And I'm like, what in the world, you know? And so I, you know, the Lord just said, keep an open mind. That's all I kept hearing. You know, the Lord just kept speaking that, just keep an open mind. Well, after the worship time ended and Pastor Barnett came out and announced that now is the Parade of Ministries. And so they opened up these big doors off to the left side of the stage, right? And I mean, these huge, gigantic 15-foot doors open up, right? And all of a sudden, you know, just all these people just start coming pouring through across the stage. They kind of walk across the stage, and they go out the other set of 15-foot doors on the other side, carrying their signs of the various ministries. And as they began to continue to come through and come through, they had their signs saying, you know, ministry to the homeless, to the mentally retarded, I mean, church on the street, sports ministry to kids and latchkey kids. And I mean, and it just went on and on and on and on. 270 ministries total. And almost every single one of them, about 240, were ministries that were birthed from Adopt-A-Block that reached out of the church. It was the body. There was no one in the congregation sitting in the seats of that auditorium that night. They were all coming. His whole congregation of almost 4,000 people were coming across the stage because every single person almost in his congregation is doing ministry outside the four walls of the church. And I said, that's it. God, that is it. That is what you have purposed. It's not for people to come in here on Sundays. Church is not on Sundays, brothers and sisters. It is not on Sundays. Sundays is a celebration for what happened Monday through Saturday, because that's church. That's when church is happening. And that's what I saw going across the stage that night, was 240 ministries of over 4,000 people who are reaching outside of the four walls of their church in Adopt-A-Block. And I mean, you name it. And everything was birthed through the Adopt-A-Block ministry. People would just get involved with Adopt-A-Block, and all of a sudden they would meet some, you know, a kid that was disabled, that had mental problems, and all of a sudden they were like, man, why can't I just focus on these kids right here? I love these kids. You know, I'll come out and I'll hang out with them. I'll bring them. I'll pick them up on a bus. I'll get licensed and get the permission slips to be able to bring them back to the church and have a little thing for them. And I'll do this every single week. And that's how these things, that's how all these 240 ministries came about. People just started getting involved in Adopt-A-Block. They saw a need, and God birthed something in their heart. They took it back to the church. Of course, you know, Pastor Barnett's like, well, can't give you any funding for it. You know, church budget is tight, but you go right on ahead. And people would just, out of their own pockets and their own resources, man, start picking kids up and start doing sports ministries with kids. They had athletes that would go and knock on doors and saw kids playing basketball and shooting baskets in a milk crate hung up on a pole. And the guy's like, you know what? Hang on a second, man. You know, man, I've got a portable basketball goal that I can bring into the neighborhood. Bam, there's, you know. And they just go in there and love on these kids, man, and bring a basketball goal in there instead of them having to shoot hoops on a milk crate. Is this making sense, you guys? Or God is saying, if you will just get in and start serving people, God will show you where you can make the greatest difference in this world. Bottom line. But we got to get busy and just start doing it and say, God, just Lord, in my heart, Father, not for my own glory, but God, show me what you want for your people. And that's what I saw again walking across that stage that night. And it just blew my mind. And it blew my mind. Ministries. And again, it hit me. And I said, God, this is what you have intended your church to be. This is what you have intended your church to look like. This is the church. This is the purpose. And that's why you've positioned this church right here for that same reason. That's why God put us right here on the north side of Tyler. We know, because we know our area right here. Pastor Samuel, you know the area. You've been over here for a while. Brother, we need your help, man. We need your help. Again, we can't do it alone. We cannot do it alone. Every person in this room tonight has a cause. You know, Matthew Barnett put out a book called The Cause Within Me. If you've got a pen and you've never read that book, buy that book. It's called The Cause Within Me. It will rock your world. These guys, you know, Pastor Matthew, 20 years old, went into the inner city of Los Angeles with his father to revamp a dying church in the inner city of Los Angeles. A church that was dying. It was part of their denomination there, and they asked, you know, they saw Pastor Tommy Barnett's success in ministry, and they said, can you go into Los Angeles and revive this church. Bring it back to life. This is where the Azusa Street Revival took place. If anybody knows church history, this is one of the church turnarounds that happened in our country back in the early 1900s. And this very church was historical. You know, it's an historical place, and they didn't want to see it die, and it was dying. And so Pastor Tommy took his son out, who knew he was called to be a pastor and to preach, and Pastor Matthew had his own ideas and his own preconceived notions about how he was going to do things. And so he went out there. His dad was helping him out. His dad would be there during the week to kind of, you know, to be there as a, you know, as his mentor and to help him, you know, through the different things that he was doing there at the church. And then his dad would fly home on weekends, back to Phoenix and do the services on Sunday and leave Matthew there to do the services on Sunday there at the church in downtown Los Angeles. Well, the average age of the church, member was like 72 years old. Okay. And here they have a 20-year-old pastor in a church of an average age of 72. And a lot of the times that just doesn't fly. I don't, you know, young guys just, it's hard for us young guys to speak into, you know, people of wisdom. Let me watch my words here. Okay. And it's hard for us to speak into their lives. It is. It's hard for me in this church to do that, you know, and I get the opportunity to. But I find it's hard to. And what happened, of course, you know, I mean, that church started to shrink. And it went down to 10 people, went from 60 to 40 to 10. And then one morning he opened the church doors on a Sunday and nobody showed up. Nobody showed up. And he was crushed. He said, God, would you bring me out here to fail? What is going on here? But see, he had his own ideas of how he was going to build God a church. That was his whole mode that he was in the whole time that he was there at the English church in downtown Los Angeles. He had his own idea of how he was going to build God's church. But see, that ain't God's way. That's not his way. And he showed him why it wasn't his way. Because it went to nothing, zero. One morning he was woken, he had been asleep, and God woke him up at like 2 o'clock in the morning. And led him down to a place called Echo Park, which if you've ever been to Los Angeles and you've been in downtown Los Angeles, Echo Park is no place for a 20-year-old white boy at 2 o'clock in the morning, okay? It is no place for a 20-year-old white guy at 2 o'clock in the morning. I mean, there's everything going on. I mean, it is alive and cracking in Echo Park at 2 o'clock in the morning. You got prostitution, drug addiction. All these things are happening. I mean, police cars. You know, gang members are out there, shootings and just different things like that. It's a bad, bad, bad area. And God told him to get up and go down there. And as he went down there, he began to see all the different things taking place. Now, we're not a Los Angeles, but I can tell you this. I've got plenty of friends in the Tyler PD, and they tell me, you know what, we're not lacking in these areas at all. Not at all. We might not be as big as Los Angeles, but we still got the same exact garbage going on right here in our backyard. And he began to see all these things going on. And God said, you're going to be the janitor of the streets. All you have to do, and this spoke so loudly in my spirit, God told Matthew Barnett, he said, you get busy building people and I'll build the church. You get busy building people and I'll build the church. The next morning he took his desk, put it out on the front, on the street, okay? He took his desk and put it on the street out in front of the church, and he just began to talk to people as they would walk by. And from that, people started coming back because he was out there every single morning. See, it was his consistency. Every single morning, he'd put that desk out on the front and just greet the people and talk with them. He got to know the people. He began to befriend them and understand them and understand the way that they thought, the way that they lived, and everything that was going on in their lives. He was right there with them. That's what we do on Adopt-A-Block. We know our people. We know what they're going through. We know their struggles. We know everything that's happening in their life almost. And he began to see all the hurts and the needs and the different things that these people were going through in their lives. And as his church began to slowly grow back again, he came up with the concept Adopt-A-Block. He said, we need to start adopting these families. And when you adopt somebody, they're in your family till the end. When you adopt a child into your family, they're your child until either you go or they go. And I don't mean somewhere in another location of the planet, okay? I mean till death. You adopt them and they're yours forever. And that's where this concept came from. And he just began to reach into people's lives on a consistent basis and was knocking on doors, and they started with one small area, and they tried to branch out too fast, and they had to reel it all back in and say, hey, hang on a second, man. We've got to do only what we can do right now. But from that, they ministered to over 40,000 people every week. 40,000 people, they're touching their lives. And it started with one guy with his desk out on the front yard who had a heart and who heard God say, you get busy building people and I'll build the church. And that's what the Dream Center is in Los Angeles today. Now, do we want to see the same thing happen here? Well, yes. Not for our glory, but that lives would be changed and transformed and renewed, because it is in our hand to feed, to clothe them, to visit them, and to give them what they need to fulfill their need. Because it's about a relationship. It's about a relationship. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. Born into each and every single one of us is a desire to feel a part of something bigger than ourselves. It's to have purpose. And in that purpose, to ultimately see a fruitful outcome. Don't we? Can we all agree on that, church, today? Don't we all feel like we have some type of a purpose, and that purpose we want to see some type of a fruitful outcome? Well, lives are at stake. Souls are at stake. And let me tell you, the stakes are high. People are dying right here in our backyard. Church, it's time for us to rise up and to take our lives to another level. I've never felt so alive in my life, and I haven't been walking with the Lord but almost a little over 10 years. But I have never, ever felt so alive in my life and in my spirit and everything. And I don't understand it. And I don't care to understand it. All I know is, God, you put something in my heart, Lord, and all I want to do is keep doing it. Because I love you, Lord, and I love that you love people. See, and I was challenged with this question. And everybody who's from a church tonight, church leadership, or just everybody here tonight, and I put this before my church. I was challenged with this question, and I want to challenge you with it. If the doors of your church were to close forever tomorrow, would the community realize it, or would they even care? Think about it. I'm not talking about just your church family. I'm talking about a 2 to 5 mile radius of your church, okay? If the doors of your church were to close tomorrow, would the community even realize it, or would they even care? That just ran a dagger through my heart. And I said, Lord, not Church of Living Hope, please, and not the Dream Center, Lord. God, we're going to get out. And we're going to be your hands and feet. My son, who was playing drums tonight, that's my son Davion, you guys, for those of you who don't know. He taught the youth group this past Wednesday night, and he reminded me of a song by Brandon Heath. Lord, give me your eyes for just one second. Lord, give me your eyes so that I can see everything that I've been missing. Give me your love for humanity. Christ was compelled by love. He was moved with compassion. My youth group remembers that one, don't you guys? Moved with compassion. Christ was moved by the compassion that he felt for people. And all I'm saying, church, is let's be moved with that same compassion. Come alongside us and let us teach you this ministry. Let us teach you how to do this. It's easy. It's simple. All we ask is a couple weekends. Just come out with us, and we'll show you how to take this back to your church and to start getting people involved. Heck, I'll even come and speak and try to light a fire under people. But I want to see this grow into something that is bigger than us, because we serve a God who's bigger than us. Amen? Amen? I mean, what's happening out in Los Angeles can happen right here. I mean, lives. I mean, I love just the testimonies, and I only had just a few tonight. But man, there is nothing more fulfilling in this life to see a young lady like Shalexis and Stacy and Stephanie and all my kids that we minister to at the apartments in Rose Valley and Town Park and our community back here, whose lives are being impacted. The young lady said, I want to come to church now. Come on. Don't you want to hear those words in your church? Don't you want to see that happening in your life? I pray you do. I pray you do. See, if we can't do our best to give people what they need when they need it most, then why are we here? Why are we here? What value do we bring to the world? Again, brothers and sisters, this is a season of great need, and it requires people of great faith who will invest in people's lives and in their dreams. It is the best time right now for you to influence and shape the well-being of this world. Time is now. We know as the church, time is short. Man, we got to go get as many as we can. We got to go get as many as we can. Because I'm not going to be the one that when it's all wrapped up and it's all said and done with, I don't want to hear depart from me because it was in your hand to do it. I don't want to hear those words. James said it best. I'll show you my faith by my works. We know it's not about works. But see, our faith should compel us. See, it doesn't take a person with unusual ability to change the world. All it takes is a heart that cares, a mind that's determined, a spirit that is willing, and a cause that matters, and a person to help. That's all it's about. Matthew Barnett said those words. A heart that cares, a mind that's determined, a spirit that's willing, a cause that matters, and just a person to help. And let me tell you, we're in a very lucrative business because there are plenty of people to help. There are plenty of people to help. And as an individual, your cause is somehow related to marrying your passions, your interests, and your abilities with the needs of people. That's what your cause is. Christ was about people. He wasn't about anything else. We know he came and died for who? For people. For people. We're his creation, his beloved. And that's all he was about. Shouldn't we not be about people? See, God says, you know, it was told me by Matthew in one of his speeches that he had given. He said, you know what? Get busy. You know, if we get busy building people, God will build the church. And he says that he'll send, if you minister to the people that nobody wants, he'll send you the people that everybody wants. He'll send you the people that everybody wants. And let me tell you, it's rising up right here in the church. You know, I was wondering, how am I going to get all this done, man, on Saturdays? How am I going to do all these things? God just sends the people. I mean, he sends people like Kevin and his team that comes, all the guys that come from Calvary on Saturdays. You know, I'm like, God, how is this going to get off the ground? How are we going to do these things? God says, just get busy doing it, and I'll take care of the rest. I'll fill in the blanks, because money follows ministry. See, we always think, well, I got to have all my resources in place. I got to have all my ducks in a row and make sure all this stuff is lined up. No. Ministry doesn't follow money. Money follows ministry. If we just get busy doing what we're supposed to be doing, God's going to fill in the rest. God's going to fill in the rest. Amen? So my challenge to you all as we wrap up this evening tonight is tomorrow morning at 9:15, we get started. We'll have coffee. We'll have some refreshments. You guys got some cookies tonight. I might have some donuts here, or I think we need to go over. We're supposed to go pick up some pastries tonight. I think I might have some pastries here in the morning. All right, so I'm going to feed you. All right, but my challenge to everybody in this room tonight is to come out tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. We get started here about 9:15, and I've got plenty of work projects lined up for us tomorrow. I've got a lady's house that we're going to paint the trim on. We're going to go scrape off a little bit of the old paint, but she's got some trim work that needs to be done. We've got the paint brushes, the paint and everything else. I've got several lawn projects, tree removal, some shrubs that need to be cut down. I've got the lawnmowers. Kevin's going to bring his lawnmower tomorrow, his weed eater. You're going to bring the weed eater, right, in the string? Okay, he forgot his string last time he came. But just come tomorrow. I challenge you. Come out tomorrow morning right here at 9 a.m. and be a part of this awesome thing. And let us show you how to do this again so that you can take this simple ministry back to your church and say, and if it's just you, you know, if it's just two of you, just go out and see. And that's how this thing started with my wife and I. All I simply did is I announced that we're going to do this. And I said, honey, if it's just you and I going to knock doors, we're going to do it. But see, that didn't happen. Again, God will send you the people that you need. And I said, you know, okay, you know, and I had already had it all mapped out. Even before I really knew how many people we're going to serve, I said, I knew that God said 7 blocks. The number of completion, right, Scott? 7 blocks. And he gave me every leader that I needed for them 7 blocks and then some. All we got to do is just get busy. Dave, will you roll this promo for me from the beginning? We're going to show you our Adopt-A-Block promo for those that have not seen this. And this is just kind of a little bit about what we're doing out here. And then we'll close up with prayer tonight and with a time of just worship. Okay. Again, it's just a phenomenal thing that's happened. If you're a member here at CLH, I'm sure that I can have person after person come up here tonight and just give you testimony after testimony of just the awesome things. You know, we share a meal here on Wednesday nights and at 6 o'clock. And when we started this meal, okay, it got to the point to where there might have been the youth group of about 10, and then there was probably maybe 15 to 20 other people. You know, you were in everybody else's conversation, basically, okay, when we first started this thing on Wednesday night. Now, I've got to make an announcement that people still sitting down and eating, if they have finished, can they come out here and fellowship, because the line is still wrapped around the sound booth here and still going through the kitchen so they can have seats to sit down now. I mean, it's just amazing how this thing has blown up. Because, God, we just got busy just building people and reaching into people's lives. And God's building his church. Now, again, is it about the numbers? No. But we're about just touching lives. Is that thing ready to go, guys? Okay. Having some technical difficulties back there, are we? Okay. There we go. That's right. We uploaded that thing, didn't we? This is what it looks like on a Saturday morning.
You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are.
Hey, Dave, I think you guys got some other music playing in the background.
Is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. For greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come, and greater things are
Grace Anatomy, and I'm one of the associate pastors here at Church of Living Hope on the north side of Tyler. And I just wanted to just invite you to the awesome things that God is doing right here on the north side of Tyler. We have a ministry that's called Adopt a Block here in the Dream Center. And what Adopt a Block is, it's a group of people that go out and take the church to the streets. There are so many needs right here on the north side of Tyler, from painting homes to mowing grass, just helping an old lady open a jar or move some furniture. What we do is we endeavor just to take the church to the streets. So what I want to do is I want to invite you to come out and be a part of this awesome ministry right here on the north side of Tyler. This is an opportunity for you and your church to come and be a blessing, but also to get blessed. We meet on Saturday mornings at 9:15, and we're normally finished up on the blocks by about 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Again, we want to just say this is the heart of God. God is just moving and doing awesome things. We have seen our church size almost double as a result of this ministry and this outreach to our community. So come, and we want you to come and see what God is doing, and also be able to take this ministry to your church and see God move in just a mighty way. We thank you, and we just pray and hope to see you right here at Tyler Dream Center sometime soon. God bless you. Close with this. You know, the things that we want to see happen in this city, you know, we want to start reaching into the lives of prostitutes. Again, we met with Tyler PD, and they've invited us to do some ride-alongs with them to kind of see where these problem areas are, and also with the homeless, and just reaching out into every aspect of our community. And we need a place for this to take place. We need a facility. And this is one of the places that God had put on my heart when I had first seen it. It's right next door to the East Texas Rescue Mission. Now, I've had a couple meetings with the gentleman who owns this building. It's the old Tyler Community Hospital that's on North Glenwood. And it's it's the perfect facility. I mean, it's huge, it's spacious, it's got the rooms, the wings where we can have women on one side of this thing and men on the other side of this thing. But again, we're just praying and asking God, where do you have for us? Where is a place, a facility that we can have, that we can begin to accept the people who are in these life these life damaging situations? And, you know, there's such a need, because there is no place for a woman that's caught in the life of prostitution and these different things. There's no place for them to go immediately, not here in Tyler. You know, we've got to go, and my brother Josh was telling me, you know, about a situation where they had to shuffle this woman around for a day or so, right, Josh? Just to be able, a couple days to, you know, she wanted to get off the streets, man. She showed up and said, I want to get out of this lifestyle. And these guys did everything that they could for 2-3 days to shuffle this woman around to finally find her a place to go. Well, we need this place. We need a dream center, a facility opened up and running. You know, and I know it's early in the life of this thing. But again, you know, I'm believing God is going to birth something through this ministry. And God is going to give us a place. He's going to give us a place. It's going to be His place. Now, this is just one place that we were looking at, and again, we were praying over it. And the meetings that I've had with the gentleman who owns this, he's a very godly man. And another brother here in the church and I met with him, and we really put it on his heart to look at gifting this building to us. I mean, it's raw on the inside. I mean, they have stolen all the copper out of it, a lot of the electrical work. There's some wire left in it, but a lot of it's been stolen out of it. It needs a lot of love. It needs a lot of care. And of course, you know, this church right now and where we're at, we're not in a position right now to make a purchase. We're actually getting ready to pay our church off. We're believing for September the 2nd, 4th. Thank you, Ms. Charlotte. September 4th, paying this building off in half the time. We paid this building off in half the time. God's been good. He's really been good to this, to our body here, and us being able to do this. But we're looking at maybe building right here onto this, because we're growing right here. But I know that God has got a facility for the Dream Center. The Dream Center is an extension of CLH. It's going to be an extension. It's going to be under the umbrella of Church of Living Hope and Calvary Commission, which is in Lindale. And again, because the people who have sown into my life have been doing this ministry, Miss Charlotte and her husband, they're my spiritual mother and father. They have been doing this ministry for 30-plus years, ministering to the down and out and to the ones that nobody wants. And they've taught me how to do it. And they've inspired me and put in my heart. They've done so many great things through the power of God's Holy Spirit and seen thousands and thousands of lives changed. And I said, God, I want to see the same thing, God. You use them to change my life. And so I know that God's got a place for us. He's got a place for us. But if you would, just be in prayer for us, and that God would, again, that he would maybe put it on this gentleman's heart to say, you know what? I think I agree with the vision of what you guys are doing, and I want to give this place to you. I'm believing that. Amen? I'm believing that. God gave Joe and Charlotte 186-acre ranch 34 years ago. Beautiful place. I live on it today. 186 acres with children running around playing on it. Families being restored. Lives being restored. And I know God's got more for this church and for the Dream Center. Amen? Because it's the heartbeat of God. And this place will be a facility where my church brothers and sisters that are sitting can come and minister. Discipleship schools. Pastor Samuel, man, you'll come and teach some theology classes in there, brother. Come on, you know, and start building lives. That's what we want to see. That's what we're going to see happen. So will you pray with us and just believe with us that God will do that? I'd like to take up an offering tonight. You know, we just have some needs, and the offering tonight is going to go 100% to the Dream Center fund that we have, and we use these funds to help with the work projects and buying lawn equipment.